He turned 55 today. Give Lamar a hand, will you? Hey, it's Brother Luma that made me do that. All right, Acts chapter 1, verse 1. Thank you, music. All of our singers, God bless you. Wonderful anointed singing. Thank you, Brother Sapp, for leading us in prayer and worship and helping us. I tell you, we just need someone to stand up here and keep proclaiming until we can push through our flesh and our tiredness and everything. You can be seated, everything that comes. I'm going to be reading a little bit, so I'm not going to make you stand. Lord, bless your word tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. I do want to mention we've been praying for little Elijah. Carol's baby was in the hospital, had a esophagus had gotten cut, and it was pretty serious, but he's doing really well. He's back to eating today, and the doctors are very encouraged. And while she was in there, a lady came in yesterday, 9-year-old girl, and the mother brought her to the hospital. She tried to wake her up that morning. She wouldn't wake up. She was in a coma. Brought her to the hospital. Doctors ran some tests. They couldn't figure out what was going on. And she met Sister Carol, Tanya, while she was there. And Sister Tanya prayed over the girl. But more importantly, she talked to the mother about how to pray and how to pray through the night and how to have faith and what to say over the child. And they're going to run some really extensive tests in the morning, do some probing. And that next morning, her little girl woke right up out of that coma, because we serve a mighty God. Amen. Amen. The Lord hears us when we pray. He hears us when we pray. Well, tonight we're gonna start talking a little bit about a church in action. Look at your neighbor and say, the church in action. And that is what this generation, it's what this world needs to see, a church in action. Not just a church that professes to believe in Christ or walking around claiming to be of the faith, in the faith, having faith, and but going to work, getting in action, and seeing the mighty hand of God do what the Lord wants to do in this time. Book of Acts chapter 1 and verse number 1, the word of the Lord says, the former trustees have I made. At this particular writer here, most people feel that it is Luke that wrote the book of Acts, especially concerning the first few verses and at least the first set of chapters here in the book of Acts. But he says, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of that Jesus, and look what he says here, of that Jesus began both to do and teach. From the very beginning of the book of Acts, the author makes it known that the church is a church of action. Everybody say, we are doers. Say, we are not hearers only. The word of the Lord tells us that we are not to be hearers only, but we are to be doers. Acts chapter 1, verse number 2. Until the day in which he was taken up, everybody say, after that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you, the church, shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria to the uttermost part of the earth. When we take off in the book of Acts, we find quickly that it is a book of action. When we look at the other books of the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, their names are usually unique to their content. In the New Testament especially, we find that the books are either named after the people that wrote them, or they are named after the people they are written to. Whether that is an individual or whether that is a city, such as the book of Galatians or the book of Thessalonians, and which were Galatians written to, the book of Galatians was written to the Galatians, and then the book of Thessalonians was written to the city of Thessalonica. And so we find that the name of the book is unique to its content. And I got to looking at this, the book of Acts, and I thought, what kind of a name is that? How do you give that name to a book of the Word of God, the book of Acts? And we could have called it something else, maybe the book of miracles. However, that would have narrowed down its definition, because not all of the action of the book of Acts was miracles. And so surely in the great wisdom of God, he profoundly named this book the book of Acts, or the church in action, or as some would say, the Acts of the apostles. How the apostles carried out the commandments of God, how they carried out the teachings of the Lord. They did not just gather together in groups like we're doing tonight and teach one another. No, they took the teachings of God and they brought them out into the streets. In fact, we find immediately in the Word of God how that the church went into action. Now, keep that in mind. We're going to come back to that a little later in the teaching tonight, if the Lord will give us time. Our theme this year is the relationship between faith and works. And we are going to probe this from many different areas, if God will help us. I am here to say again tonight that the Lord has stood up in 2014. And he has said to the Pentecostals of the Palm Beaches, it's time to go to work. It's time to go to action. It's time to get moving with everything that we've learned, everything that we have been taught. James chapter 2 and verse number 26. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Our journey in the Word of God is to get tonight is to get a better understanding. This journey in 2014 is to get a better understanding of how works. Everybody say works. And as we've already preached on, for some reason, works has become a dirty word amongst Christians. The religious world has so programmed the minds of God's kids that there is no work that you can do. It's all grace. It's all faith. And we are learning in the Word of God that that is as far from truth as you can get. Now, we're going to bring a little bit better understanding on the different type of work that James is talking about compared to the type of work that Paul the Apostle talks about when it deals with salvation. But we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But we need to get over that. When pastor begins to preach about works, we need to get over. We don't need to let the devil touch our mind and our hearts and say, well, you're going to be a legalist, or you're going to be self-righteous. No, I'm going to get up and I'm going to do something with what God gave me. That's what I'm going to do. And that, folks, is called works. That's what it's called. It's what the Bible calls it. And so our journey is to get a better understanding of how works affects our faith and how faith affects our works. And that without both being used in unison, neither of them will affect anything. That is what I hope the Lord gets down on the inside of us, is that you can have all of the faith in the world and it will accomplish nothing if you don't go to work with your faith. And you can do all the works in the world and that will accomplish nothing if you're not doing that work in faith. So it's not about doing works and being self-righteous. It's about being redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ and getting up and doing something with that redemption that others may be saved as well. It is going to completely blow our minds when God finally gets a hold of us, when He finally gets deep down into our heart, in our spirits, and we begin to do just a little work for God. Just go to work just a little bit. It's going to blow our minds what God is going to begin to do through us and how He is going to touch other people, and lives are going to be changed. So, a quick review, not to spend long. We learned what? That Abraham, our father, was what? Justified by works. Now, the amazing thing about this is that James says Abraham was justified by works. But Paul the Apostle says in other verses of the Word of God the very opposite. He says Abraham was not justified by works. So the question is, which one of them are right? And the answer is both of them are right. You cannot take the statement out of its context. When Paul says Abraham is not justified by his works, you have to read all that Paul the Apostle is talking about to get an understanding of that. And when James says Abraham is justified by his works, you have to read all that James is talking about to get an understanding of that. And so we're going to take just a couple of minutes tonight to try to understand that a little bit. James chapter 2 and verse number 21, the Word of God says, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou," in other words, James is saying to the church, understand something. Understand how that faith wrought with his works. Everybody say faith with his works. And say by works was faith made perfect. So it is our works that is performed in faith that causes our faith to be effective. Effective in our life, effective around us and everyone that we touch and everything that we do. Another place we saw that it is our works that literally gives life to our faith. 22, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, that is faith, and through that faith it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. James sort of sums it up, verse 24. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. This is what I've got to get into the body of this church. Your faith alone is not enough. And I know that I am battling in the biggest demonic theology that has ever been presented, and the devil's been working on it for 100 years and getting it into Christians that all you have to do is believe and sit down and enjoy your little Christian life, and when the rapture comes, you're going to go to heaven. I've got news for you. The Bible says that if you are unfruitful, you are going to go to hell. Now, you didn't clap very, very good on that. I'm just giving you scripture. I'm not making this up, folks. Being fruitful is not an option. It is a command in our life. And you cannot be fruitful unless you go to work. It is works that is going to make your faith perfect. According to the Word of God, it is works that proves you have faith at all. James says, you're going to show me your faith in God by sitting down and doing nothing. He said, I'm going to show you my faith in God. You're not going to have to guess at whether I have faith in God. You're going to know I have faith in God because you're going to see my faith in God by my works in God. We talked about Rahab, justified by works. James 2 and 25. Likewise, also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. So now, before we go any further, let's establish the difference in what James is talking about and what Paul the Apostle is talking about. Because if you don't understand the difference in the two, then the devil will always be able to mess with your mind. And if he can mess with your mind and mess with your spirit and your thinking and your faith and all of these things, then you'll never be able to stand solid upon what you're doing. And friend, I'm telling you, we live in a generation today, you better have your feet planted, because everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And beware lest you think, if you think you stand, lest you fall. Can you say amen? And so we need to establish that there is a difference between faith and works and the relationship that James is talking about and the one that Paul the Apostle speaks about. Paul in the scripture, and the scriptures that we're going to look at here momentarily, and I'm just going to refer to them, Sister Dawn. They can buy the CD and look them up later, but it would take me hours to go through this. So I'm just going to refer to the scriptures and what they're talking about, and you can try to get there if you want, but when I mention them. Anyhow, I didn't put them in my dilly there. I don't think I even gave it to you, so it doesn't matter, does it? I forgot to give it to you. Okay, Paul in the scripture below is speaking about obtaining righteousness or redemption through work.
This is impossible. Righteousness can only be placed upon you and I, or imputed in me, or imputed in you, by having faith in Jesus Christ and faith in the work that he did on Calvary when he shed his blood. There is nothing that you can do to earn salvation. Salvation was given to us from God, and we receive salvation by grace through faith. The Word of God makes that very plain. Not works of our own, lest any man should boast. And so Paul the Apostle is very emphatic. He is very strong in this area. Romans chapter 9, verses 30 through 32. Paul is talking to the Jewish nation. And they have for 2,000 years, they have been taught and trained that salvation came through the law. It was by obeying the law, by making sure the lamb was slain, by having the sacrifice of peace and the different sacrifices that were given, the yearly sacrifice to roll their sins ahead, and don't pick up sticks on the Sabbath day or you'll be stoned. Obey mom and dad. Don't commit idolatry. Don't commit adultery. Don't lust in your heart. Don't commit fornication. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't kill. And they raise their children like this. They put it on their foreheads. They put it on the doorposts. And so works was so ingrained in the Israelites that it was a very difficult thing for them to receive salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. And even the ones that received him on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 were filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost and baptized. And even those in them, 8,000, by the end of the week, and the church grew. And over 70 years, there were hundreds of thousands of Jewish people that had received Christ into their life. However, the old traditions had a way of holding on. One time, Paul the Apostle came into town, and Simon Peter had compromised. And even though he was the one with the keys of the kingdom, he had compromised so that he could fit in with the Jewish elites and was teaching that circumcision was still necessary. And Paul the Apostle had to show up and rebuke Simon Peter and other apostles and set them right, that you cannot do a work great enough, pure enough, holy enough that would redeem you or your soul. There is nothing you can do. There is no work that can bring redemption into your life. Redemption comes from the grace and the love of God. Hallelujah. In Galatians chapter 2, verses 14 through 19, he talks about it. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. He talks about it in Titus chapter, 2 Titus chapter 1 verse 8. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 8. He talks about it in Titus chapter 3 verses 1 through 9. And many, many, many other verses. But these verses, the works that Paul the Apostle is speaking about here, or the works that would substantiate your faith or your redemption. And Paul the Apostle is saying that there is no work that you can do that can save you. James chapter 2 and verse 14. What doth it profit a brother, though a man say that he hath faith and hath not works, can faith save him? Hold on, before I get there, let me finish with this. And so what is Paul the Apostle saying when he says Abraham was not saved by works, but he was saved by faith? Faith in Jesus Christ, or his faith was completed, of course, in the redemption of the Lamb of God. And many other places. Yet James says that Abraham was justified by works. It's because it's two totally different works. Abraham understood that it was not his actions that was saving him, but he understood that because he was saved, there were some actions that he had to take. And so that's what God is trying to talk to the church about. Your works don't save you, but because you are saved, there are some works you must do. In fact, what God is trying to say is that if you are saved and you really do believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and He truly has redeemed you, then He commands us to do what? To go out and teach and to preach and to reach a world that is lost. Everybody shout, teaching is a work. Shout, preaching is a work. Shout, praying is a work. Everything you have to do is a work. The only thing you can't do is impute righteousness into yourself. That can only come through faith in Jesus Christ. Everything else, once you receive that faith, then you go to work for the kingdom of God. James chapter 2 and verse number 14. James says, what does it profit, my brethren, that if a man may say he hath faith. Now look at this. A man says he hath faith and hath not works. Can faith save him? So though a man say, everybody say. Yeah. Though a man say he hath faith and hath not works, can such a faith save him? The emphasis here is on say. We got a lot of Christians that are saying they have faith. We have a lot of Christians that are saying they love God. We have a lot of Christians that are saying they're obeying God. We have a lot of us that are saying, come on now. But when you watch our lives too closely, that's the whole point. You got to watch them very close if you're going to see anything that backs up what I say. You ought to be able to see it from a mile off. In fact, my reputation ought to precede me. Before you ever get to you, somebody ought to say, you better look out for him. You better look out for her. She's a little wacko. He's a little crazy. Always talking about Jesus. Always praying for somebody. Always doing something. You see, the emphasis here is on say. It will be a mere saying, if you please, and can no more, James says, can no more save the soul than if a man was naked in front of me or down to his pajamas and we're standing out in 20-degree weather and I've got a coat on my jacket and a coat in my arm that I happen to have extra, and I say to my freezing brother on the street, be you warm, and then I walk off and I've still got the coat in my hand. James says, your faith without works has no more good than what you just did for that man. He says, can he be warm from your words? Can you say, be ye warm? And all of a sudden he say, woo! Hot breath, baby. Warm me, Paul. No, James said, no. If you don't do a work, if you don't do a deed, then your words mean nothing. And he said, your faith is the same way. You can say you have faith all you want, but until you go to work for the kingdom of God, James says, I don't see no faith. Come on, we're going to do this. Let's look at it just a little bit more. Man holding right views may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show, James, the verse here we're talking about, show, that word meaning exhibit. to me, if you can, of course, but it's actually impossible that you can show me your faith without your works. That's what James is saying. And he goes on to say, and I will show you my faith by my works. Now, when we look at the word faith, faith is in a general understanding. It is the persuasion of the mind that a certain statement is true. God is one. We have faith in that statement. We believe that it is true. We find that in Philippians 1:27, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 13, that it is persuasion of truth. It is primary an idea or a trust. A thing is true and therefore it is worthy of trust. Faith, a conviction that God exists and is the creator and the ruler of all things, the provider and the bestower of eternal salvation upon me and upon you. Faith is what? It's the result of teaching. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 17. And the Bible tells us that knowledge is a central element when it comes to faith. In fact, sometimes knowledge itself is referred to faith. John 10, 38 and 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 3. Now look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1. We're going to start walking down the relationship of faith and works again. Now, faith is the substance. Everybody say substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the what? The evidence of things not seen. Now, the substance of things hoped for, that means that faith substantiates, it confirms, it validates God's promises and my belief in them, belief that he will fulfill them. Faith is the hope that makes the unseen a reality to me. And so I say, or I trust God in a certain thing, but I don't see it come to pass yet, such as our facilities, but not for a moment do I doubt God. In fact, in my mind and in my heart, we already have them. We're just waiting on them to get through painting the walls. God's taking care of all of that. Now, the Bible says faith is the substance. So that is the substance part of it. But it's also the evidence of things not seen. Remember what James said. He says, you're going to show me your faith without your works. I'm going to show you my faith by my works. He said, in fact, it is my works that is going to make my faith alive. He says, faith is, works is to faith as the spirit is to the body. The body is dead without the spirit. So is faith dead without works. So when the writer of Hebrews says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it is the evidence of things not seen. The evidence there is a convincing proof of, or a demonstration, or it is an act that is performed by the believer that everybody else will look at him and go, man, you're crazy. What are you doing? I'm believing. I'm acting on that faith. The very definition of faith, according to Hebrews, incorporates work. If you don't act on your faith, you don't have faith. And that is what we've got to get a hold of. What proves, you know, my faith, great faith, the Lord said a few times, and or no greater faith. And we try to look at it as an amount. But the Bible says the measure of faith is given unto every man, every woman. And when the disciples said to Jesus, increase our faith, he didn't lay hands on them and pray, increase the faith. I've got people come up to me all the time and say, pray for me that my faith will be increased. I can't. Now, I don't tell you that. I just lay hands on you. And I'll pray something like, God, show them the path of faith, knowing I'm sending you down a path of persecution and tribulation and hardship. But I cannot lay hands on you and increase your faith. Are you ready? You want your faith increased? Move. That's all you have to do. The moment you take an action on what you have professed in Christ and believe Him to do for you, the moment you move, your faith becomes great faith. That's what made the little woman's faith great faith. That's what made the centurion's faith great faith. They acted on what they professed with their mouth that they had faith in. They didn't just stand there and wait to see what God was going to do. They moved as though God had already done it. God, I wish this would get a hold of us, because I'm telling you, it will change your life and it will change what God begins to do in your life. And they said, increase our faith. Jesus looked at them and He said, if you had the faith of the grain of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. Now, I don't know how to really interpret that, except that it makes it pretty plain that it's not the size of your faith. It must be the size of your action. Because if I had just the faith of a grain of mustard seed, Sister Coraline, I can go get a shovel, and it might take me 10,000 years, but I will move Mount Everest with a shovel. Why? Because I believe I can. Now, God is saying, of course, belief in me is self-righteousness, right? God is saying, if you'll have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you can speak to that mountain and say, be thou cast into the sea, and it shall be done for you. The moment you believe, you have to begin to speak. You have got to begin to act upon what you say you believe on the inside of your heart. If you believe God's going to take care of your needs, then quit moaning and groaning and complaining about the lack of your need, and start professing faith to everybody you meet and say, man, God is providing for me. God is blessing my family. God is helping us. You got on your knees and pray for a job? Don't sit down and wait for AT&T to come knock on your door. AT&T's busy. You're the one without a job. They got jobs. So you have to get up and go knock on AT&T's door. And you can be as bold as you want. When AT&T answers, you can say, God said you were going to give me a job. You can say that if you want. Jesus said it's up to you. Your faith, it's up to you, right? So be it unto you as you believe. I believe that's how He said it. But the point is this. If I have faith God's going to give me a job, I've got to get up and fill out some resumes and send them out. Then I'm going to go back to my closet and I'm going to say, Lord, now I believe you for the right one. God spoke to Elijah, said, it's going to rain. He told the prophet or the king, he said, it's going to rain. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. Elijah didn't go sit down in a chair somewhere. No, he got up and he went to prayer. And then he told his servant, he said, go check it out. There's nothing there. Go check again. 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 There's a cloud the size of a man. Elijah got up. He said, boy, you better get on your horse. Let's get on this chariot. We better get out of here. There's a sound of abundance of rain. What brought the rain? Elijah didn't just speak it. Elijah went to work on it. Elijah acted on it. And God brought it to pass. Hallelujah. There's a lot of things that we've been believing God for that we're not seeing because that's all we do is believe. We never act on anything. We never go to work. When the Bible says without works, faith is dead. So I am literally killing my faith because I'm not willing to step out and go to work. Let's go just a little further, and then we'll wrap this up. And so, faith comprises of two parts: substance and evidence. The belief in things that cannot be seen, and the acting or demonstrating of oneself upon those things which cannot be seen. So we ask ourselves the question: where's the evidence come from? The evidence comes from the work that I put into the faith. Look at the Word of God. Let's go back to the beginning. Something Pastor has always told this congregation is that when you preach a doctrine, and I'm preaching a doctrine, do you understand that? A lot of times I'm just preaching a subject, but I'm preaching a doctrine. That means I'm teaching something that I want to get ingrounded in your spirit. As much as Acts 2:38, and the other wonderful doctrines of the Word of God. That without works, your faith is dead. And that just a little movement, just a little work in what you're believing in will explode your faith. Lord, let me come out to where you are. I believe I can walk on water, Jesus. Let me come out to where you are. Do not try this at home. If it's 4 foot water, you can do it. He said, Lord, let me come out to where you are. And Jesus said, come. But let me tell you something. Peter could have had all the faith in the world. But until he picked that leg up and put it over the bow of the boat, his faith was dead. What brought his faith to life and what showed everybody on the boat he truly believed is when he actually stepped out on the water. That is what gave power to his faith. It was his actions. That's what God wants us to do. Now, anytime you're preaching a doctrine, you can go all the way back to the beginning. Because every doctrine of the Word of God flows from Genesis to Revelation. That's why you can't pull scriptures out of the middle of somewheres and try to build a little doctrine around it. You've got to study the whole subject. And the way you know that what you're teaching is right is it will flow through the Word of God without interruption and with no contradictions. So let's look at the Word of the Lord. What does the Word of God say? Through faith, Hebrews tells us, through faith, everybody say faith. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So God created these worlds through His Word in the power of faith. But look at Genesis 1 and 3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Even from the very beginning, in order for faith to work, to operate, someone had to do a work. God didn't just believe he could create worlds. God opened his mouth and spoke. Sometimes the work will just simply be words, but many times the work will be an action. Okay, let's carry this a little bit further. Everybody say, by faith, Abel offered. So his faith was substantiated in the fact that he did what? he offered. So how did his faith have power in God? From his work. Watch this. Verse 5. By faith, this is chapter 11 of Hebrews, by the way. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Now, how does Hebrews say this was done? It was done by faith, right? What does Genesis say? And Enoch walked with God. He didn't just have faith. Enoch had works. He walked with God. After he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And the Bible tells us, and God took him. Look at Hebrews 11 and 7. Everyone say, by faith. By faith what? Noah, being warned of God by things not seen, as yet moved with fear. What did he do? By faith. Now, Noah could have had all the faith in God's, and what God said he was going to do and pour the rain out. But what saved Noah's family? His faith, or the fact that he added works to his faith? See, he believed that God was going to do what he said. But Noah didn't just stand there and believe. Noah got his sons together and he went out and they got gopher wood and they brought it back and they built an ark. And because Noah put works with his faith, when the storm came, the ark floated. Folks, this works. Look at Hebrews 11 and 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out unto a place which he should, after receiving inheritance, obeyed. And did what? And he went out, not knowing where he went. He had faith, but he didn't just have faith. He had works with his faith. Look at verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born. Now, Moses didn't have the faith. Mom and daddy did, okay? And little Moses here. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was what? Hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. So they saw their little baby. They had faith somehow in God. They knew there was a special work in this child, and they acted upon that work. Now, every mother could have had the same feeling, but they did not act upon their faith. And Roman soldiers would take their children and feed them to the crocodiles in the Nile. But Moses' dad and mom, his mother Jochebed, and his father, they took Moses and they hid him. So what did they do? They applied a work to their faith. And it was the work that gave power to the faith and eventually produced a Moses. Then verse 24, Moses himself. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But he didn't only have the faith that he was not going to be of the Pharaoh Egyptian ways. No, it was beyond that. Verse 25, what did Moses do about that faith? Choosing rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses had faith that his God was the right way. Moses had faith that God's commandments were the right commandments. Moses had faith that God's prophecies and truths were the right truths, and that the Israelites were God's people. But he had more than faith. How did he prove this faith? How did he show he had faith in this? How did everybody know he had faith in that? Because when the time came, he made a choice. He did a work. He chose to suffer the afflictions with God's kids. Now, because of that, you and I can look back into the Word of God, back into history, and say Moses really did believe. It wasn't just words. He really believed those were the children of God. He really did believe that Jehovah was the one and only God. How do you know that? He made a choice. He had an action. He applied a work to his faith. And that is what gave power to his faith. And it's what showed God and showed everyone else that he actually truly believed what he had professed with his mouth was so. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. When did they fall? Hebrews tells us. After they were compassed about
7 days. God said to the leader, Joshua, don't worry about Jericho. I'm going to take care of that. This is what I want you to do. I want you to walk around them walls one time every day and seven times on the seventh day, and I'm going to bring those walls down. Joshua knew all of that before anything happened. And Joshua had faith that his God was real and true. But how do you and I know that Joshua really believed in the words of God? Because he got his people up. And he said, we're going to walk around Jericho today. And we're going to walk around again tomorrow. Don't say a word. We're going to walk around the third day. Don't say a word. We're going to walk around the fourth day, fifth day, sixth day. And on the seventh day, we're going to walk around it. We're going to walk around it seven times. And at the end of that seventh walk, we're going to blow the trumpets. And the walls of Jericho are going to come down. How did we know he had that faith? Because he acted on that. And I'm telling you, this is what we're missing. I believe we believe. I do. I believe we believe. And I know that God knows that we believe. But the world will never see the hand of God until you and I act upon what we believe. Okay, I'm coming to a close for tonight. I'm only a little ways here, but Hebrews 11 and 32, I'll close with this. So let me say with the writer Hebrews, listen to this scripture. He says, and what shall I more say? For time would fail me to tell you of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets. He said, I could talk about you for days on and days in about their faith in God. But it was more than their faith. Samson said to the Lord, what did he say? He said, Lord, give me one more shot. Renew my strength. Now, he prayed that prayer to God. And then what did he do? Blind, he cried out to a little lad that led him out to be made a mockery of. And he said, son, bring me to the main pillars that are holding this thing up. Well, why are we going to do that, Samson? Boy, don't ask questions. Shut up and bring me to the pillars. What is Samson doing? He's acting on his faith. He made a request and he believed in his heart that God was going to fulfill that request. Now, I believe it was more than just the fact that he believed. I believe that God somehow let him know that he had heard his prayer and he had answered that prayer. He had that faith, but if Samson would have just stood there, nothing would have ever happened. What gave power and life to his faith is he acted upon it. And he said, bring me to the pillars. Put my hand on this one. Put my hand on the other one. Everybody begins to laugh, but they didn't hear the prayer. Everybody begins to mock, but they didn't know the faith because they hadn't seen it yet. But they were about to see it. They were about to find out that this old blind prophet was going to get a second chance. And with all of his strength, we know the story, he pushed those pillars apart. And because of his actions, his story is still told today. Tabernacle of Pentecost, we need to go to work for the kingdom. Amen. And if we'll just begin to respond a little bit, you have faith. I know you do. Let's stand. You have faith that God will use you to save someone. You have that faith. But you and I know the problem. We know the problem. God will send someone our way. and the door will be opened. The door will be opened. And we have an opportunity to speak into someone's life. And we let the devil talk us out of it, either through fear and intimidation or through condemnation. I have no right to, I'm just, you know, I sinned yesterday and I forgot to repent over it. And I've got, you think God cares about that? Well, don't misunderstand me. Yes, he does. But not at that moment. God sent that person to you. And he is still in you. And everything you need to act upon your faith to bring about a miracle is in you. God will take care of you and your little problem later. Trust me. You won't get away with anything. Boy, this is so hard to say because I'll say this and I can only pray that you don't take this the wrong way. Maybe it's impossible for you not to. I don't know. But anyway, the fact that you're not in your mind perfect, that maybe there's something going on in your life that you know you need victory over, does not diminish the power of God in you. God will still do through you everything that he needs and wants to do. And then he'll take care of you later. He'll get you on your knees. He'll pray you through. He'll get you right. Why is it important for you to understand that? Because if you live with that mentality, you will never do anything from God. Can one of us ever name a moment in our life where we felt perfect in God? Perfect. I'm perfect today. There's no faults or failures in me. No sins or weaknesses. I am perfect today. Bring the cripples on, Jesus. Bring out the blind. Me and my perfection will heal them all. No, now you're going to fail because you're self-righteous. So what do you have to do? You have to understand that the moment you step out to work, it's no longer you doing the work. It's no longer about your right or your bad, your good, your righteousness, your failures, or your anything else. The moment you move, God, your faith comes alive and God steps in and does the work through you. Hallelujah. My Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost so strong in this place. So strong. Amen. Now, we all know, because we all do it. I'm preaching to the choir tonight. We all know that we have to repent daily. We have to give ourselves to Christ daily. We have to constantly crucify. Paul said every day, I crucify the old man. And we know that we have to do that. But don't you let the devil rob you of God wanting to work through you. And here we are. We have the faith that God will save. We have faith that God will bring redemption to this person, and God opens up the door. Everything is there. And why does it not come to pass when the Bible says it's not the will of God that any man should perish? Why does it not come to pass? Because it's not our faith. We know God can save them. It's because we never act upon that faith. And only works can give power to your faith. When you begin to act upon your faith, your works put life in your faith, and the two of them come together, and God is able to perform and do a great deed. So let's pray tonight. Father, Lord, we're trying to explore this teaching, God, and I know that you're helping us, and we thank you for it. And I believe that this is
getting into the hearts and the minds of your people. It's permeating deep into their spirits, Lord. I believe that. Father, I trust that. And God, I'm going to act upon it by teaching it and by preaching it. And Lord, I know the devil is trembling right now because there's a church in Palm Beach that's about to go to work. Lord, there's some of us that are leaving here today, and even Sunday, we've left with a brand new revelation of how to put our faith into action and how that, God, it will cause you to do great things. And I pray, Lord, tonight, my prayer is for everyone that's in this building, revelation. Let the revelation of the relationship of faith and works, God, let it come into our spirit. Somehow begin to illuminate our minds. And Lord, let us begin to have a much deeper understanding of all of this, Lord, and how it is that you're trying to work through us and do great things in this city, great things, God, in our families, great things in our marriage and amongst our children. Father, I just pray, I ask you, Lord, help us. Help us, God. Work with us, Lord. Do this, God. Let us see, Lord, that the faith is there, but we have to act upon that faith. And when we act upon that faith, God, mountains are going to be removed and cast into the sea. Blinded eyes are going to be healed and deaf ears are going to hear. It's going to happen. It's going to take place, Lord. I pray it. Get it deep down inside of us. Get it in our spirit, Father. That is my prayer. Help us to go to work. Look at your neighbor and say, I am going to work. Now bring your faith with you, because works without faith is self-righteousness. But faith without works is dead. But when you put them together, it's God. I love you. In Jesus' name, you're dismissed. God bless you.